Yarra Valley FM 99.1. That was the Rock and Roll Hit Parade for this week. Big Al has left the building, which is a good thing because the police are on their way. You're with Greg Carrick. It's 8 o'clock Sunday night. It means it's time for Have a Little Faith.
Listening to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring,
get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
And listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Heaven's glory share.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Listen to the songs of the fathers and the mothers and the many friends gone on before. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Some eternal morning we shall meet them over on the Hallelujah shore.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
And listen to the music in the air.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Heaven's glory share.
Turn the lights down low.
Turn the lights down low.
And listen to the Master's radio.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Lord, when you are glorified, my heart is satisfied.
You're listening to Have a Little Faith.
Worship music and some things to think about.
Sit back and relax as we bring you worship music from artists across the generations.
And some thoughts on how your faith can be active in today's world.
Listen in every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
The voice of the valley.
Talk to me so you can see. Listening to Have a Little Faith, Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
And welcome to Have a Little Faith. Bit of a special show tonight. It's the first Sunday of the month. And we've got David Wilson and Ned
Wynn
in the studio. Now, if you're a Yarra Valley local, you may have heard of these two guys. Bumped into them sometime, or maybe you go to Zach's place. But yeah, famous in their own backyard.
And a little bit beyond, don't you reckon, Ned?
I think well beyond that, I think.
Yeah, yep. Thanks, Greg. Great to be here. What's going on? Marvin Gaye, great song. And there's a bit of a theme for tonight's show, Greg. We're going to be talking a bit later on with Catherine and talking about homelessness and Stable One. But, you know, I'm coming in here. This is my third time here in the studio, but it's Ned's first time, and he's asked the question, what's going on about lack of photos? You want to talk about your gripe there, mate?
I do. I've come into this radio station and I've checked out the whole place, as in I've walked into every room. And to my great disappointment, I can only see four photos of Elvis. They have photos of everybody else. They've got photos, they've got advertisements, they've got everything, but only four photos of Elvis.
Well, just and a minute, I don't think there's any photos of Stevie Nicks.
No, that doesn't matter. We're talking about Elvis right now.
Yeah, but Elvis comes in and cleans the building for us.
Yeah, what's going on is my question. I'd like to see an improvement here, please.
Absolutely. Yeah. See what we can do, eh?
Yeah.
We're going to move straight into a song by Amy Grant, Yaska's Farm, and it's not the Amy Grant that you know of El Shaddai fame, but she's got a new album out singing some fantastic sort of songs. And this one is about Yaska's Farm, which is where Woodstock was held back in 1969. So it's going to be played, and then I want to say a couple of words about it. Thanks, Greg.
Shopping for some groceries, music piped in overhead. They only play the melody. I hear the words John Lennon said. ride this cart with crooked wheels. He's either bent over laughing or spinning in his strawberry fields. Where's the road to Yasker's farm? He stares at me with pity and alarm.
Listening to Have a Little Faith, Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
She talks about where's the road to Yasker's farm, and as I said before, that's where Woodstock was held in 1969. And in the first verse, she's talking about thinking back to suddenly I'm 16 again. I guess she was 16 in 1969. And what's the future hold in store? What's it hiding up its sleeve? All that wide-eyed hope, were we so naive? And she's really thinking about, you know, what were the ideals that we had there at Woodstock, and what were the ideals of peace and harmony and love and all that sort of stuff? And we've lost them. And she talks about the 6th of January and the death of some of those ideals from there. And she's also talked about Marvin Gaye, which we opened the show with, Marvin Gaye and what's going on. And she talks about John Lennon asking us to imagine with her what the road is and all of that. And then she says that we've lost our way. So pretty sad and yet pretty telling, really. I love the reflection that she's got there. The rest of the album is just as good. So if you get a chance to download it or buy it, I think you'd be very pleased with it. Hey, Ned, yeah, I reckon maybe you ought to introduce the next song, mate.
Okay. So the next song is a song titled Welcome to My World. It's a song by Elvis.
Who?
Elvis Presley.
Oh, Elvis, right.
A great song. The words, listening to the words, you could imagine a couple of things. One would be Elvis is saying welcome to his world, but I see it on a different level at that. I see it on a level where it's like a welcome into a world that's full of love, peace, harmony. And I think there's a special message in this song in regards to the wording of the song, which is pretty good, really, because when you think about it, music is an international language. It speaks to everybody. And I think with these particular words, people listen to these words as well as the melody, which is an amazing melody with an incredible voice singing the melody.
Who sings it again?
It's Elvis.
Elvis, that's right.
We're going to love it, or you're going to love it. So let's play Elvis's version of Welcome to My World.
Thank you.
let you come on in. Miracles, I guess, still happen now and then. Step into my heart, leave your cares behind. And the door shall be open. Seek and you will find. Ask and you'll be given the key to this heart of mine. I'll be waiting there with my arms unfurled.
You are listening to Have a Little Faith, Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
All right, mate, you've won me over. That was a great song. Got to agree with you.
Welcome to my world.
All right. I'm in your world. But talking about your world, Ned.
Yep.
You're president of the Yarra Valley chapter of God Squad.
I am, yep.
Yeah. So tell us about that. What is God Squad?
Well, God Squad is a bike club. A motorcycle club. It's a Christian motorcycle club that's been around now for 54 years in Melbourne. Originally started in Sydney back basically in the very, very late 60s, early 70s, and started in Melbourne basically in 1970, 71, 72 era, just with one chapter at the beginning in Melbourne. And then there was a chapter that was started up in Brisbane. It didn't last for a long time. The original Sydney chapter had dismantled and gone, and so it was just the Melbourne chapter. And the president of the chapter was John Smith, who I think a lot of people listening to this particular radio program would remember. But since the beginning of God Squad in the 90s, we started to expand. And there are numerous chapters now right up the east coast of Australia, Tasmania, Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland, and New Zealand. We've got chapters in England and Wales and Europe. So it's basically now an international club.
How many different countries, mate?
I think there's 14. See, now that's a good question. I'm saying
right up there, isn't it?
I'm saying 14 countries. I know there's a number of different languages spoken in the club, which is fantastic. I was over in Germany for an international run a few years ago, just prior to COVID, and I was meeting brothers from the Ukraine who were in God Squad, and other guys from Estonia that didn't speak English, but yet we could still communicate with each other, which was great. And to see guys with the God Squad patch on their back from other countries is just the real buzz.
Must have been great.
Yep. Germany, we've got a chapter there. The Lowlands in Holland there, a chapter. So it's just a magnificent...
You've got a chapter in Ukraine, don't you?
We do have a chapter in Ukraine, and that particular chapter... Obviously, being in Ukraine, have been affected by the war there. They've had their clubhouse bombed and whatnot. And there are members of the chapter that are actually on the front lines of the fighting. There are other members there who are in the medical aid division.
There's a doco about it on YouTube, isn't there?
There is a doco about that. Yes, there is. They're very interesting documentary about that. But, you know, the brothers over there, they're an amazing group of guys. You know, they're just... They are so committed to two things, one to Jesus and one to fighting for their homeland. And it's just an amazing scenario when you listen to these guys talk, and when we hear or we get a video from them, just their commitment to God, even though they're living in perilous conditions, amazingly bad conditions, in a war-torn country.
Yeah, amazing.
In a war-torn country.
There's something that they brought over to the Melbourne chapter's 50th anniversary,
yep.
And it's hanging on the clubhouse.
It is. And what it is, it's one of the backpatch colours that we've got, our God Squad colours, that has been partially burnt by the fire that erupted in the clubhouse when they were bombed. And so that particular set of colours was caught on fire, but only half of the colours were burnt. But it's a stark reminder of what they're living under and what's going on over there. It's an incredible situation. Look, God Squad is just an amazing motorcycle club, and it's a movement that I believe is ordained by God, because we are a Christian club, and the sort of stuff that we do, you know, we've been out with different clubs all over Australia, really, where we just party on with these clubs, and it's based on a friendship theology, you know, where we don't go preaching and Bible bashing people at all. We become friends with people, and with that friendship, the friendship that develops, you know, obviously conversations develop about things over periods of years, and the talk about Jesus is just one of those conversations that comes up.
But it just comes up naturally, eh?
We're trying to get into some of the churches in the local valley here, the Yarra Valley, this is a really good opportunity to say that anyone's listening, if they would like God Squad to come along to a church service that they've got, to participate in the service, or just to find out a little bit more about God Squad as a ministry and as something that they may want to get involved in, that's certainly a great thing to do. We hang out at Zach's place in Yarra Junction, which is the church, little church in the main street of Yarra Junction, an old Anglican church, which we call Zach's Place, which is where we have our church every Sunday, which is not a God Squad church, but it's a community church. But God Squad and our chapter of God Squad have actually been very much involved in starting off that particular church.
Yeah, that's great. I know that God Squad used to have a lot of ministry in schools, and is that something that you'd like to see happen again, or is it a different day
absolutely.
And age or what?
Oh, no. We really want to get back into the schools. You know what? It's a little bit different now because of the laws, I guess you would say.
Restrictions.
The restrictions getting into schools. But we would love to get back into schools and do what we used to call Values for Life seminars.
Yeah, that's
right. And the Values for Life seminars were such a great hit with the young kids in the schools because they'd never heard stuff like we were talking about. The stuff about life and life values. Mm. And, you know, you do have choices in life. You don't have to go down the road that your mates are saying you've got to go down, you know, which can lead to can lead to such destruction in your life. You don't have to go down those paths. You don't have to succumb to peer group pressure, because you do have choices, and there are other really good choices to make. And we talk about that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So that'd be great to see that happen again. So I guess if there's anybody involved in schools, like chaplains, for instance, or you know, staff in schools that would like to see something like that, to get in touch with you would be a good thing. How do people get in touch with you?
Well, that is such a great question.
Thank you.
Not a problem, Dave. The way that you would get in touch with us, we do have a Facebook page, Yarra Valley God Squad. God Squad Yarra Valley, I should say. Well, Yarra Valley God Squad, same thing really, just backwards.
Yeah.
Yarra Valley
God
Squad.
I was working
that out. So leave a message on that. And we would certainly get back to whoever's left messages on that. And it's the same with Zach's Place. You know, we do have a Facebook page for Zach's Place.
We do.
And so Zach's Place, there would be a way to contact anyone that wants to come along to Zach's Place, which you're going to love, because Zach's Place is a community church, but it's grassroots. We call it Jesus Central.
Yep.
And that means it's not religious.
Yep.
Now, I know that sounds like a contradiction in terms, but Jesus wasn't a religious sort of
thing. No, he had a go at a whole lot of religious people, didn't he?
He had a massive go at the religious pharisaical leaders of the day.
Yep.
And so we talked Jesus at Zach's place, and it really is just a blessing to be able to do that, because it's real life stuff. It's stuff that we read in the Bible, you know, we read about Jesus and the disciples and all that sort of gear, but that stuff that we read is so appropriate to today.
Yeah.
And it really is appropriate today, you know.
Yeah, you and I have just come from Zach's place, you know, where we had the gathering this afternoon, and we spent, it was a really unique time, wasn't it, where we spent 2 hours just talking with somebody who was wanting to discover more about Jesus and more about faith.
Yep.
And we just spent 2 hours talking with it. It was fantastic time, wasn't it?
Was. And speaking of Zach's place, I did say just before we left Zach's to come here that I'd do a special shout-out to Cheryl.
Shirley Pye.
So I've got to say, how the hell are you, Cheryl? Because that's the way I greet Cheryl every Sunday, and she just loves it, I think.
Shirley, I hope you got your radio on. This is pretty special stuff. One last question, mate. Very important question, this one. Did Elvis ride a Harley?
Actually, thank you, Dave.
Yeah, question without notice.
Yeah, no, that's an amazingly fantastic question. Yeah. Not only did Elvis ride a Harley, Elvis actually owned Harleys, more than one. He owned, and I've been lucky enough to actually see the Harleys that Elvis's rode, the Harleys that Elvis owned. I've been lucky enough to go to Elvis's place, Gracelands, and all that sort of stuff. So I have seen the bikes that he owned.
Yeah.
So I can say
decent bikes.
Oh yeah. I mean they were bikes, you know, 1970s and 1960s shovelheads, which were a great bike. I've had quite a few shovelheads, motorcycles, which is the Harley Davidson brand. But fantastic bikes.
Now, we got another song coming up that is also called What's Going On, but this is a very different What's Going On. Do you want to say anything about that in introduction, mate?
Yeah, I do. This is a song by the 4-9 Blondes. It was a big hit in the 90s, and it's amazing. Whenever this song is played anywhere, like in a pub or anywhere now, people really get into the song because it's just great music, and it's great words. Like I said earlier on about the Elvis song, Welcome to My World. This song, I reckon, says a lot of things about the woman who's singing it, and the message that she's putting out is like, what is going on with the world? What's going on with the world? And again, if you listen to the words that she's saying, you can really understand that there's a bit of frustration with this girl in regards to where her mind's at in how she's perceiving what's going on around the world and around her. And she just needs to get out and just breathe a bit of fresh air and just reevaluate the whole sort of scenario that she's living in and around. So yeah, let's listen to this song by the 4-9 Blondes, What's Going On.
And I get real high, and I scream from the top of my missed you. Time to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination.
You are listening to Have a Little Faith, Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Four Non-Blondes, what's going on? Isn't that a great song? Great sentiment there. And a lot of questions, really, in society today about what on earth's going on. And one of the big questions is around the area of homelessness. And homelessness seems to be increasing over the years, and a lot of different sources feeding homelessness. But we're really fortunate tonight to have Catherine Kirkwood with us because she's the CEO of Stable One, and Stable One runs the winter shelter program out here in the Yarra Valley. So welcome, Catherine, and say good day.
Thank you so much for having me. It's good
welcome,
to be
Catherine.
Here.
Very, very good to have you. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions here, which will get it started, and let's have a conversation. So why the name Stable One?
Why the name Stable One? Well, there's a few different answers to that, I think. Mm-hmm. Back in the day when we were when Stable One first began, one of the things that we believe that God said to the group of people that were praying and, you know, wondering what they can do about this problem of homelessness was that even if you help just one person, it's worth doing. So hence Stable One. The one is really important. And kind of beyond that as well, you'll see in our logo that sort of there's a pathway, it's a bit of a journey, and ultimately the most stable one is Jesus, we believe. So we are inspired by Jesus, and that's who we are.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, inspired by the love of Christ. Can you tell me what that means as far as homelessness is concerned, inspired by the love of Christ? I love it, of course, and I agree with it, but what does it mean to you and to the organisation?
I think there's a few different levels to that question. I think, you know, in a really broad sense, the Bible says somewhere we love because he first loved us.
Sounds like
First John. It does sound like First John. I think you're right. First John 4:19, actually.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. I may have it written down. So there's that really broad...
Shouldn't have said written down.
I know, right? there's that answer in a really broad sense. So we love because he first loved us. But then, you know, we know that love... It's not some abstract feeling. It's an action. Love is an action word. So then we look at who does Jesus call us to love? And I think he said that really clearly in the Bible. He says, love your neighbour. And who's that? He answers that question with a story, and that's the Good Samaritan. So loving people who maybe are different from us, loving people who can't necessarily pay us back for the way that we help them, loving people who are in need, essentially. And, you know, ultimately, we look at, there's a verse, a whole section of the Bible, Matthew 25, where Jesus himself actually identifies with people in need. And he says that if you give one of these people in need, you know, a drink of water when they're thirsty, or food when they're hungry, or critically shelter when they've got nowhere to be, then it's as if you've done it for me. So we are just really inspired that Jesus calls us into this love of the other.
Well, it's almost like being a friend of the outcast, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And the marginalised, that's exactly what it is.
Yep.
And that's where Jesus does call us to be.
Mm-hmm.
To be a friend to the outcasts and the marginalised,
yeah,
and to love them like we would love anyone else, and to provide stuff for them. It's great.
Yeah,
I love Stable One.
It's a story weaved all the way through the Bible, and it's, you know, Old Testament, New Testament. It calls us to love people in need.
Okay, so tell us a bit about the practicalities. What does Winter Shelter do to show that sort of love?
Yeah, so since 2017, we've been collaborating with local churches who they essentially open their doors and provide hospitality for people who are experiencing homelessness locally. So it's a massive volunteer effort. It's people from churches, it's people from across the community who are inspired that this is really good work to provide shelter, to provide care, and that sense of belonging too, because... you know, homelessness brings about all sorts of isolation and
displacement.
Yeah. So to be able to give people a place to be and a place, not just shelter, but it's a place of care and love and belonging too. Yeah, we work with churches to provide that.
Mm. So come around to a night like tonight. What happens in a winter shelter? What's happening right now in the winter shelter and what's going to happen over the next 12 hours?
Well, I'm pretty certain that everyone in the shelter, so guests and volunteers that are there this evening, would have had a very hearty meal. One of the things that guests often say is, I've never eaten better in my life.
That's right.
They love the food, so they would have had a lovely meal together. There'd be stretcher beds set up probably in the church sanctuary or chapel, whatever you'd like to call it. So stretcher beds and, you know, comfy mattresses and, yeah, those guests will be able to sleep comfortably and warm. And, you know, volunteers, they hang around too and, you know, there's often games in the evening and I know that there's a particular venue coordinator there tonight who loves a bit of trivia, so that's probably happening too. You know, just being together in a positive, warm, friendly environment. And then in the morning we have another shift of volunteers that come in to, you know, help pack up. And the shelter moves around during the week, so we have a few different venues that will do nights during the week. So the shelter moves around, from day to day.
Now, homeless people are oftentimes, people experiencing homelessness are oftentimes derided and people have a bit of a go at them and sort of think, well, you know, if you only just go and get a job, you'd be able to be all right and, you know, everything be okay and so forth. And there are some really, I think, bad things going around and a lot of myths about homelessness. And Ned actually has a story, again, story without question, mate, about a homeless man who was lying on the sidewalk and was being quite abused by some workers who were doing some jackhammer stuff next to him. And how you entered into that situation. You feel like telling that story now, I've dobbed you in?
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, this happened in Adelaide back in 1983, I think. Yes, it was 1983. And the reason that I know that is because I'd only met Jesus about 6 months prior to that. And I was working on a construction site. I'm a carpenter by trade. And I was actually the leading hand on this particular construction site. And one Monday morning, I came to work and we'd start pretty early, 7 o'clock in the morning. Wow, that's really early right now when I think about that. Yeah, we'd start at 7 o'clock in the morning. And once we'd started that morning, I heard a jackhammer being jackhammered outside on the footpath. And I knew that we had to do work out there, so I went out there. And one of the labourers, was back in the day of the BLF labourers, one of the labourers was jackhammering concrete, part of the footpath, which had to come out. But unfortunately, right there where he was jackhammering was an old Aboriginal man, an old man, and he was asleep on the footpath. Anyway, I was mortified when I saw, so I ran up to the labourer who I knew and I said, hey, you can't do that. So and he goes, no, this is great. I said, no, it's not. No, it's not good at all. Stop. So he stopped and then I knelt down to move the old fella, you know. And so I knelt down and I sort of shook him a little bit and he woke up and he came up swinging is what he did. I think he thought he was going to be burged, you know. But anyway, and I said, no, mate, it's okay. I just need to move you because we've got to do some work here. He didn't say a word, this old fella. Anyway, so I helped him up onto his feet and I noticed across the road there was a bench and I said, hey, let me take you over there and I'll help you lay down over there. And so I walked him over there and I helped him sit down and he laid down on the bench and that was good. I walked away. But as I walked away, I turned around and I looked at him. And the absolute love that I felt for that old fella was unbelievable. I had never experienced feeling like that about someone who I didn't know. I just didn't. But what it said to me was Jesus loves this man.
Mm.
And what it said to me was Jesus loves you. And he's given you love for that man. And I've never forgotten it. And it was way back in 1983. And that, to me, was the pinnacle of me really understanding and knowing that Jesus was real. Jesus is real. because there's no way could have I felt that myself, especially with the background that I had had prior to meeting Jesus, prior to being Jesus' follower. I wouldn't have. There's just no way that that could have happened.
Yeah, right.
So that was real. That's what that is.
Mm.
Thanks for the question, though. I didn't know.
It's a great story, and I only thought of it as we're just talking about Winter Shelter, and because you know we hear stories like that at Winter Shelter when people come in, the guests arrive and get into telling their stories sometimes about their lives and what they've experienced, and oftentimes we hear stories about abuse like that where people and you ask people who are experiencing homelessness what's your greatest need? And obviously it's shelter, you know, shelter is the thing, but more often than anything else, they'll get into stories about, oh, I just wish people would respect us as human beings. I just wish people, you know, if they're walking past, they might be begging, for instance, and if people are walking past, it's just to say good day or nod their head, you know, that would be a really good thing. So we often hear stories about dehumanising things, you
know, I know we're talking about Stable One, which is fantastic here in the Valley.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about third world countries now. I'm talking about countries that are similar to Australia.
Yeah, yep.
And the amount of homelessness and the amount of people that are just lying on the street during the day, at night, is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
People who, I guess, haven't travelled wouldn't understand that so much, but those that have travelled and done a bit of travel have seen this, and it's really something. It's a global scenario that's fallen to bits, really.
Yeah, and that's in some of the richest countries in the world. You know, I often tell people that this is a real human rights problem we've got, and it just shouldn't exist in Australia. Yeah. You know, it's the have-nots versus the haves, and it just shouldn't be happening here. That shouldn't be poverty in this land. Catherine, what do you got to say about all that?
I guess you've made me think of the reason that I got involved in Stable One at the beginning, and that was, you know, I sort of recognised that my life was too comfortable, you know. I think it's really easy to get comfortable in our own little bubbles, and unless you come face to face with people who are, you know, their world is completely different from your own, and they're in so much need and pain often from past, you know, traumatic experiences that have led to this point, we can't understand until we step into it. So I think part of what Stable One does really well is helping people to step into it, because the problem is so big, and you often think, you know, how can I do anything to help in the problem of homelessness? But the good news is that you can. And this, the Winter Shelter program, is a really good example of that, of just coming along, being part of it. You know, it can be as simple as stepping into a shift and literally playing Uno with some guests. You know, that makes a difference. I think it's really important to step into it.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks. Talking about some of the myths about homelessness, you know, it seems that the stereotype of the homeless person is an old man who looks dishevelled and is usually an alcoholic or maybe has a real problem with drugs. And maybe some mental health issues, but there's other feeders nowadays that seem to be taking over as the main contributors to the problem of homelessness, isn't there? Do you want to say anything about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, over the past few years we've met many different people, and they're certainly not all old men. you know, we've had much younger people in their 20s. You know, I mean, we know that youth homelessness is a huge concern. We're not able, sadly, to care for under 18s, but we know that certainly that exists as well. But I'm just thinking of someone last year, you know, a guest last year that, you know, he was sharing a house with some people, and then suddenly got told that someone else needed the room and he was out, and there was no warning, no notice. He'd never been homeless before. He didn't know what to do. And because we were able to care for him, and, you know, he was warm and being well fed and had shelter and a, you know, safe place to sleep, he was then able to get back on his feet. But when that happens and there's no support, you know, the spiral downwards is pretty quick, pretty traumatic. So to be able to sort of stop that is really great. But yeah, we see all different types of people, for all different types of reasons, coming into the shelter. Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the things that I've been reading about lately, and I think connecting with people in the program, it seems that domestic violence or family violence is one of the biggest feeders. I think I read somewhere recently that 60% of people experiencing homelessness have in some way or other been involved in family violence. Is that what you're discovering?
Yeah, look, I wouldn't be able to put a number on it, certainly, and it's really hard sometimes too, because guests don't always want to share their past, and that is, you know, absolutely their prerogative and totally makes sense. But I think, you know, there's been a big increase in women who are experiencing homelessness, and that very much fits that, that there's often family violence that has resulted in them needing to leave a home and you know, escaping an unsafe situation.
Hmm. Well, I just happen to have some statistics written down here, Catherine, because I was thinking about this. It actually, the latest stats, and of course statistics regarding people experiencing homelessness are really rubbery at the best of times. It's very hard to count the homeless. But it says here that 8.5% of people seeking assistance regarding housing have problematic substance abuse issues. Now, that sort of goes against the myth that, oh, everybody's addicted to drugs if they're homeless. Well, that's not true. It's 8.5% of people seeking assistance. And then there's 31.7% of people seeking assistance regarding housing who are suffering from mental health issues. So mental health issues are much higher contributors to the homeless issues than substance abuse. And going further up the scale, 41% of people seeking assistance. So my 60% was over the top. It's 41% of people seeking assistance are a part of family violence. And so those are the three pretty serious contributors to homelessness. So when we're talking about dealing with the problem of homelessness, it's not just talking about shelter, is it? It's talking about wraparound services and welfare and all that sort of stuff. And I know that Winter Shelter is, in the last couple of years, taking that really seriously with Welfare Coordinator. Do you want to say anything about that?
Yeah, and I think, yeah, you're exactly right in that homelessness is not a one problem issue. There's a whole complexity of things often going on, and you know, with that complexity, if you suddenly pop someone in a house, that doesn't necessarily solve homelessness for them because they need more support. So yeah, we identified this a couple of years ago in the Yarra Valley Winter Shelter. Our volunteers are wonderful. They are fantastic. You know, they get in there and they can walk alongside our guests and provide hospitality. But we just acknowledge that there is a great need for extra support. So we were fortunate enough to secure some funding to employ a welfare coordinator, which was great. So that the first time that happened was last year, and then this year that's happening again. And just be able to provide that sort of extra assistance. So I know our welfare coordinator last year spent quite a bit of time, you know, advocating, for instance, in, you know, the medical space, you know, helping with doctor's appointments and or helping with Centrelink and you know, making sure that ID documents were available and, you know, just those extra things that is so important because it is such a complex issue for a lot of people. And I think, you know, the whole mental health issue, it's hard to know, you know, is it mental health that has, or yeah, poor mental health that has caused homelessness, or has homelessness caused poor mental health? Yeah. I think it's really hard to work out what comes first because, you know, it's such a traumatic experience for many people.
Chicken or the egg.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah.
So we're running towards the end of our time together, Catherine. We could talk for a lot longer, couldn't we? But just quickly, there's other things that Stable One is involved in, not just the Winter Shelter program, but there's the Fast Haven Collective, and I believe you've got an absolutely fantastic training program as well.
I love it, yes. Well, we'll talk about the training program first, shall we? It's Stable One Education. We're in the process of developing some more sort of formal's not the right word, but structured modules, because I think, you know, in our experience, we've asked other local organisations, other volunteer organisations, you know, would this help to have more education available, particularly locally in the local context? And people have said yes. So we're certainly working on that at the moment to get that ready in a more structured way for to deliver. And David, of course, is one of our key educators or facilitators, which is great. And, yeah, the Fast Haven Collective, that's a brand new program that we soft launched last year. It's sort of nearly ready to be formally launched. And the idea of that is essentially to make use of assets, housing assets that already exist in the community, because there are, what we are finding is that there are so many people out there who are either already doing a really good thing, and, you know, it could be their spare room or a bungalow on their property, small second dwelling, that they're already using to provide affordable housing to people in need. But that there's even more people out there that would do that if they had the right support. So we're looking at a program that would provide that support, provide the information that they need, but also critically working with our referral partner, Anchor Community Care, who help us out with referrals for the winter shelter, that they would help to connect people as well. So we're looking at connecting household housing assets in the community with people needing affordable accommodation. And I think, you know, who knows where this could go? It's hard to predict, but I do know that there's so many people out there wanting to do a good thing and help.
Yeah, that's fantastic. There's so many opportunities, aren't there, opportunities to help and to pray, first of all, of course, because wisdom is needed all the time. But if there are people out there who would be interested in talking about the training, the modules, there are modules that relate not only to the problem of homelessness, but relate to the marginalised and working on the margins, as Ned was referring to before, you could get in touch with Stable One. And if there's any possibility, if you want to find out more about the Fast Haven Collective, that'd be a good idea. But there's a really big need. There continues to be a big need right across the winter, the 13 weeks of winter, and we're only 1 week into it, for volunteers. Mm-hmm. And more volunteers are needed for the winter shelter program. So if you're interested in finding out more about that, or even ready to sign up, to get on to the website or to make contact with Stable One, how do they do that, Kat?
Yeah, well, probably the website is the easiest. So it's stableone.org. So they can jump on there, chuck in a /volunteer, and that'll take you straight to the volunteer page. We're certainly looking for more volunteers locally, particularly if you're really good at staying awake overnight. We have a lovely overnight shift from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. But, you know, that can suit a variety of people, whether you're retired and you can sleep the next day, or you're used to shift work. We really need you if you can help. So I encourage you to sign up.
Catherine, thanks so much for coming in tonight. It's been great to have a chat with you, and we wish you all the best across winter and, of course, beyond in all the other things that you're involved in. There's a winter shelter here in Yarra Valley, but there's a lot of winter shelters starting up in the winter shelter network across the eastern board of Australia, and it's great to see those and the involvement there as well. God's really doing something pretty special. And Ned, anything you want to say before we move into the song to take us out?
What this song is going to take us out?
Mm.
This is the last song?
Mm.
Oh, okay.
It's come up quickly, hasn't it?
There, I've got to say, thank you, Catherine. It's great to hear you and to hear what you've got to say. But I've also got to say that I think we need to bring some more Elvis photos back in. So next month, I'll be bringing a couple in myself. And I don't know if I've got much more to say. I'm listening intently to what you're saying, and loving the program of what it is, Winter Shelter, Stable One. Great thing to do, and we don't get much more time to say, but we should do more of this, Dave.
Need to take that 2 hours from Greg, don't we?
Yeah, we need to. or maybe even once a week even we should do this.
Yeah.
Because there's some good stuff that we could be talking about, like what we have talked about tonight.
We've said it on radio now. It's recorded. It's okay. Down.
Okay. So there's some really good things that we could address on this hour.
Indeed.
To do with the valley and to do with what's going on. What's going on?
Now, we've asked the question a couple of times, and I reckon we've talked about love as the response to what's going on, because there's a lot of crappy things going on around the world, and love is the answer, isn't it?
That's what Jesus said.
Yeah, well,
but then they broke up. I don't know what's going on there.
No, you don't want to go there, man. They didn't live it, but Jesus did live it. So he did. Yeah. No, go ahead, Ned.
Oh, no, I was about to just interrupt you.
All right. Well, you did a good job of that.
That's okay.
Hey, thanks, Kath, for coming in.
Thanks,
great to talk to you.